Welcome to Answering the Call with host Elizabeth Ficicello. In this program, Elizabeth gives us a glimpse into the spiritual journeys of priests, deacons, and religious sisters and brothers from the Columbus Diocese who have heard and answered God's call. And here's your host, Elizabeth Ficicello.
Hi, and thanks for joining us on another edition of Answering the Call here on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, and streaming live on stgabrielradio.com. I'm your host, Elizabeth Ficicelli, delighted to be here this week, as always, where we get to meet some of our ordained clergy and the religious in our diocese, and at times beyond our diocese, to find out about how they heard and answered God's call in their own lives. Now, you know, Jesus chose 12 men, the apostles, to go out and preach the gospel. And this past November, Bishop Frederick Campbell gave the same charge to 12 men from our diocese as he ordained them deacons. And my guest today, Deacon Chris Rice, is one of those 12 recently ordained deacons for the Diocese of Columbus. He serves at St. Catherine's in Bexley, where he and his wife Lisa are active members. So first of all, Deacon Chris, welcome to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
We're delighted to have you. And Deacon Chris grew up on the south side of Columbus, the youngest of six children, in a family that was very strong in the practicing of their Catholic faith. And that family was spearheaded, it sounds, by a man who really laid the foundations for your faith development. So, Deacon, tell us a little bit about your dad and the kind of family that you grew up in.
Dad's nickname was Leo the Lion, and he loved the gospel, and he preached by his actions. He certainly encouraged all the children to practice their faith. But right along with Daddy was Mom. We didn't realize till later in life how much a partnership they were together. Margaret and Leo really worked closely with their children, and they lived the gospel day to day. So with that background of very holy, good parents, Mom would always be accompanying us to 6 a.m. Mass, walking down the street in the snow and the cold mornings on Hanford Street in St. Leo's Parish. So they were really stalwarts and really were very close to the priests and sisters. Mother nursed the sisters, and Father was a right-hand man of any pastor he could be called upon. So yes, St. Leo's and our family life was a real close place for our initiation into the faith.
And that close association with the priests, your parents obviously had a great support for the vocations in your family.
Yes. It wasn't unusual to see Sunday afternoon when morning masses were completed to find a priest sleeping on our couch after a nice meal that Mom had provided. And then we would, you would always hear the Browns football game on. Father would catch maybe the first quarter and then fall asleep. So it was a very peaceful, fun time. And then Daddy and Mom would always engage Father on the latest things going on with Vatican II and discussions like that. And my older brothers were in formation at the time for the priesthood when I was a young boy. And so we certainly heard a lot of discussions about their experiences and how their formation, and my father and mother were very encouraging of their priestly vocations.
The two brothers you're mentioning are Father Michael Rice, who serves today at St. Leonard's in Heath, and Father Justin Rice of St. Peter's Church in Columbus. You had these two older brothers who were going through formation, become priests. Did the idea of priesthood ever cross your mind as you were growing up?
Yes, we were teased in school about those guys, but no, we were. I was very proud of my brothers and was in awe. They shared with us their education and their learnings, and very wise, good brothers. And then also at the same time, as brothers, we fought and roughhoused and played sports together. And so it wasn't unusual that after a dinner experience, we would break out in what we called knee football or basketball in the living room, which was a lot of fun. It was a lot of brotherhood, a lot of good times. So yeah, we were a very close family.
Now, as you were growing up and got into high school age, you had an important spiritual conversion. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, you know, in high school, it's a rough time because you're trying to figure out who you are, and what your identity is, and you know, as many young fellows, my identity was that of an athlete, and I, you know, wanted to play sports, and everything revolved around sports. But my junior year, I was very tickled to be asked to participate in a diocesan youth program called Teens Encounter Christ. And this program was based upon the Paschal mystery of the dying, rising, and going forth. And it was probably a very profound conversion in my life, although conversion is ongoing and continually happening moment to moment. But this experience of the Teens Encounter Christ Tech Weekend was very profound. And one of the gifts that I received from that is a deep love for Scripture and a deep love for what was going on in the sacrifice of the Mass. All of a sudden, I started to understand what was going on there and had deep contemplation and excitement about the Eucharist, the special gift for the journey. And so the high school retreat tech movement, and then I was involved after a particular weekend helping other area high school kids come together. And this was very exciting to relate to other Catholic high school kids and other kids in the area, not just around sports, because we all just competed a lot and kind of on that level. But this was sharing our faith, which was a very profound experience.
Wow. Sounds an amazing experience, actually. And after high school, where'd you go to college and what'd you study?
Well, after high school, I started school at Ohio State and was very influenced by the physical therapy folks there at Ohio State because I had suffered several injuries in school, and I was very tickled by the assistance that I received from the trainers. And so I wanted to go into physical therapy, experience kind of a call to service and the service that I experienced from the therapist and at Ohio State. And so I went into the Allied School of Medicine and studied hard sciences there, but didn't really have the acumen to make it through some of the hard sciences. So I graduated there in environmental science, mm-hmm. and taught and worked in consulting engineering field around environmental issues.
And that kind of fit also with you because you had a great love for outdoors and
Yes. And this is kind of a real joy that I've received also. Bishop appointed me the chaplain for Catholic Committee on Scouting, and scouting was a main feature of our family life. My father was the scoutmaster, along with many other duties. Our family camped together, and so I dearly loved and enjoyed my outdoor experiences, and especially Catholic scouting. Catholic scouting was also an entryway and a pathway for me for a deeper conversion. The scouting experience helped cleanse me of some of the things that I had going on. And with scouting, you really work together as a team and collaborate well together. So yeah, scouting experience was essential to my faith formation. And so to study environmental topics was very, very near and dear to me already.
Now you would meet your wife, Lisa, your wife now of 33 years, shortly after college. Where was she at with her faith journey when the two of you met?
She was very excited about her faith, and that is one of the first things we connected in right away. We were involved in some small faith sharing groups, connected with the parish. Our friends were also involved with Catholic renewal efforts, friends from the tech movement also. So that was very essential in connecting us right away. There again, too, when we were first married, Lisa and I, you know, help facilitate small faith sharing groups. And so that was a real connection right away for us. Just have some very fond memories of our parties. And it was a great way to meet various friends. You know, we just ran as a clump of people. It was so nice, this the pressure of dating. So you just had all these friendships and spent many times with friends at Diebel's in German Village, celebrating our friendships and our faith, because many of these young adults were also involved with the Catholic small groups and faith-sharing groups. So, yeah, we ran as a clump, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, you married Lisa in 1980 and had six children of your own, just like when you grew up. Were there other similarities between the family you were raising with Lisa and the family you grew up in?
Oh, yes. You know, Mom and Dad really encouraged us. Daddy worked three jobs to provide for us. It was worked very hard. Although I did not work three jobs, I knew from their example to be gracious and to be open to life. We still look back and. Mom and Dad said things would go fast. We never realized they would go this fast.
Mm-hmm.
But, when we were in the thick of it with raising young children, we'd say, "Oh my gosh, deliver me!" But, the openness to life and the joy of having children, and the joy that each one of these children has brought. You know, being the youngest, I could see the gifts of my older brothers and sisters and siblings, and my heart would just ache until they came home to visit, and I see that same kind of love and joy that when my children get together, and now my children are having children. We have six grandchildren, and so I really enjoy my greatest hope and prayer always that they would love each other, and just look for each other, and so that. Has carried forth from my mother and father that ache, that deep love for each other and encouraging. You know, I know if I lost my shirt today, my brother would be right there to put one on for me.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful.
So the gift of, you know, you learn a lot about community in your own family community. And so that has been essential also to the gift of ministry, and especially as the church teaches, the family is the first community and the first formation of the faith.
Absolutely. We're talking with Deacon Chris Rice. He's the deacon at St. Catherine's Parish in Bexley and one of the 12 deacons recently ordained for the Diocese of Columbus. And he's our guest today on Answering the Call. So, Deacon Chris, tell us how and when the idea of the diaconate came about.
Well, I'd always been kind of a servant, being the youngest, and as I shared with you, I love to be with my brothers and sisters. Our house, where it was located in the South End, my brothers would always bring home their seminarian friends for the weekends to rest, and Daddy would always go to Planks and pick up a keg of beer, and I would always be making sandwiches or cooking or taking care of them, and so... I won't tell any stories on any diocesan priests, but yes, we had a good time, and so I always had a servant's heart, always with my mother. My mother was involved in nursing, and so she would take me to the homes of the sick, or they would show up in our house for shots or sutures or whatever needed to be done. And so I always kind of had that kind of servant's heart. Formally, I was talking with Frank. I first expressed my interest. Formally in 1993, completed a preliminary application for the diaconate. I had several friends who were served as deacons and were mentors to me, and so I was in dialogue with them. And so that's kind of like if I put a date on it, but that servant's heart has always been kind of active within me.
Now, you formally applied to the diaconate in 2005. But for the first time, you were turned down. And tell us a little bit about that time, because that must have been difficult.
Yeah, it was. You know, I'm a guy. I'm used to doing whatever I need to do and winning, and you know, I have a conquering attitude. You know, I can do that.
Mm-hmm.
But really, God had a kind of another plan for me that initially I wasn't open to. So when I had applied, the review said, you know, you're not. We have these concerns. And so I prayed about those and I said, where else would I go, Father? I love you deeply. And so I continued on my journey of study and reflection and contemplation. And God really brought me to the place so that when I received a call from Father Mike telling me, hey, you've been accepted, it was a great joy. It was kind of funny. When I received that letter, I was at home and Father Mike called me and he said, you're in. And I said, wow. And, and that's only when I then opened the letter from the bishop. It's been quite a journey to the diaconate. And then and it's only begun.
Literally, it's only begun.
It's only begun. I'm all of 57 young years, and I just see, and just being exposed in ministry for the last couple of months here, what God has in mind for me and for my family and for my diocesan Catholic Church.
Now, every one of the deacons I've had on the show so far, like yourself, has been married. Tell us how the pursuit of the diaconate, all the years of formation, had an impact on your marriage and your family, because it is a big commitment.
Yeah, my wife Lisa and I are very involved with our parish, St. Catherine, and Lisa in particular is the director of the Bishop Griffin Center. It's a free store and food bank on the east side, and so when she started getting involved with that, which is a demanding ministry, I was kind of wondering, how are we going to juggle all this? And I was working full time, and it was amazing how God would provide for us, whether it was buddies when I coming to help with our children while I was in demanding retreat weekends for the diaconal formation. We had friends that would serve us, you know, bring food to us, watch our children, you know, all those kind of things that community does to help. We had friends come alongside and just really support us. And I did not realize this, but I had a major group of intercessors,
mm-hmm.
Doing spiritual warfare for our family, protecting our family, and looking out for our needs. We're very fortunate that we have a great support system or a bunch of lovers that really love us.
That is a blessing. And now that your years of hard work have paid off and you are an ordained deacon, is it what you expected? How are you adjusting to all of this?
Well, I'm a real newbie. And I just remember the first time when I was to assist at St. Catherine and to elevate the host, elevate the cup with Father. You know, I'd read, I'd studied, I'd practiced in practicums, but it was a very holy moment. And so I can't tell you functionally. I can talk to you functionally about a lot of things, but the gift of the Holy Spirit is kind of constantly revealing to you what this ministry is about. It's a mystery, and so to be continued, so to speak. I would share with you that it is more than I expected, more than I thought, and it is a real blessing, especially to assist in the Eucharist to be with the faithful. It's it's kind of hard to put my fingers on exactly, you know, this is it. It's kind of like I was sharing with you before about the ontological change that occurs from the gift of the sacrament, of, you know, the ordination and the laying on of the hands. It's, I can't put it in words. And I think that's something that will be revealed over time.
And I can relate to that. I think as having a married vocation is the same thing if someone was to ask you to describe that. You know what I mean? There is a mystery in that.
Yes. And like marriage, it's like, wow, wow. And then each, and then just you know, I think... as we married, you know, there's no blueprint, there's no design, you do this, it's just this revelation and how you come together as a couple. And so that is very exciting too with the diaconate as you come together and as you're continually, this conversion is continually ongoing within you. So, it's a good analogy to marriage and that partnership with your spouse.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Now, you serve not only your parish community at St. Catherine's, but you serve a wider community through your current occupation. So tell our listeners a little bit what you do, and do you see a tie between the two?
Yes, I work for the State Department of Development in the community development area, and I administer programs for low and moderate income neighborhoods around family assistance and assistance to poor people with energy assistance and those kind of things. So I've been very involved with small towns and neighborhood groups to effectively assist people. My job is to administer grant assistance programs, and so when I work with various nonprofit boards and communities, I can really see the hand of God working in various situations. Although I have a secular job, I can really witness the faith experience of community members in making their communities a better place to live.
Right. And that's good because it's a question I don't often think to ask my my working guests like you are in the workplace full time is, you know, do you feel like you can still keep your deacon hat on at times during work? You know, is it because I don't think everyone can, but it sounds like
the teachings of the Catholic Church are a great wealth of information and knowledge, especially about the common good and figuring out answers from the lowest level of people figuring out, and you know, teaching people to fish rather than giving them the fish.
Sure.
So those Catholic social teachings have been always in the background for me in terms of guiding and assisting me as I do my work. You know, sometimes people say, "Where did you get that insight?" In the secular world, they'll say, how did you know about that? And I'll just say, I won't say, yeah, it's a church teaching. The church is a real wealth and gift.
Now, this question, it might be a little premature for you, but I do like to ask it of my guests, and that is, what do you find most rewarding and challenging about your new vocation?
Challenging. I'll take that first. I think, like everybody, finding balance in their life. You know, I have a large family. Lisa and I have a lot of people coming and going at the house, and so, you know, finding balance between ministerial activities and family life. Now, a number of my children are all involved in Catholic ministries, from youth ministry to you know, service to the poor. And so it's not like a, you know, now we're this way or that way, but keeping balance in the family and encouraging the children to continue to go deeper in their faith, that's essential. And to realize, you know, I'm daddy. I'm not somebody else, you know, all of a sudden somebody with another hat on just because I had a Dalmatic on 15 minutes earlier and a sweatshirt on 15 minutes later, I'm still dad. I'm a dad that's helping them know the big guy, the father of us all. And so I think hopefully my witness will help them connect with the father of us all. Now on that's kind of challenges balancing and keeping things in proper relevance. And then the biggest blessing is to be continued. I mean, I love everything about the Catholic Church. I love everything about our Lord and Savior. I'm so tickled to be involved with the salvation of souls. I'm very excited about the new evangelization and about introducing and encouraging people to grow in their faith. I'm especially encouraged and joyful about family life and building couples and encouraging faithful marriages.
That's beautiful. Deacon Chris, we are just so blessed that you came and joined us on this program. Could you end the show with your blessing?
Yes. Lord Jesus, we ask your blessing upon all those in ordained ministry, and especially all of us, that we will realize our gospel call to be kingdom builders. We ask this through Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Thank you again, Deacon Chris Rice, for inspiring us with your faith journey. I'm Elizabeth Ficicelli, host for Answering the Call on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. I'm also a Catholic author and speaker. You can find out more about my work on www.elizabethficicelli.com. And in the meantime, I hope you'll join us for another episode of Answering the Call, Saturdays at 10:30, Sundays at 4. And in the meantime, have a great week. God bless.
If you know a priest, deacon, or religious sister or brother that might be interested in telling St. Gabriel listeners how God inspired him or her to answer the call, please contact us at info@stgabrielradio.com.